definitely the most ground we're going to cover in one day. We just finished an omer and a half. All right, we're on Daled, Amud Aleph, halfway through now. Which reminds me that there's going to be a lot of time over the next couple of days. Those who are hanging around, hopefully, during the Sesame Tshuva. So it's really kedai to learn the whole Gemara in Daf Gimel Beis. It's a major Gemara. Gimel Beis, Daled, Amud Aleph, all the places in. It's a lot. Baruch Hashem, Locha said what to do. So even if you, I don't know, if you can get ahead of the sugyas also if you want, but it's a really good kedai time to make, to try to go through the Gemara Shittais as well. Not to mention the fact there's going to be a bechina at some point after Yontif. We don't know when yet, but something after Yontif. So it's going to be important to know the Gemara Shittais also. So everything's good to know. But we're going to continue now, Kedarkenu, in the next sugya, and Avdal Abd Aleph. So the next sugya is absolutely zero, nothing to do with Kedushin. Unlike all the other sugyas we learned this year, this is nothing to do with Kedushin. It got into Kedushin so derech agav, we can almost forget how it got in. It got in because on Daf Gimel Beis, the Gemara finally asked the famous question. We've been learning 5 weeks. We didn't even get to the first real question. They have a Kesef Menolin. That's what they say. The joke goes in the yeshivas that some yeshivas skip all of the Beis and Gimel because they want to get to the first cash that really means anything for any yeshiva. What's that? The Kesef Menolin. You have money to support the yeshiva. So some yeshivas skip the Beis. So the Kesef Menolin. So the Kesef Menolin, and we're still asking this question thousands of years later. So the Gemara wanted to know, what's the source for Kinyan Kesef? So the Gemara says, what's the source for Kinyan Kesef? So the Gemara doesn't even quote the source. We knew the source of the Beis, we already learned the source. Ki yikach, the Gemara doesn't get to that until much later. The Gemara starts down a whole other route. Another legamre different source for Kinyan Kesef. The Yatzachina main Kesef, whole gill over here. When an Amma Ivriya goes free, let's say she was sold as a little girl. It's a terrible thing, Amma Ivriya. We don't want anyone to be an Amma Ivriya, but Nebuch, sometimes the father's no money. Nebuch, the girl is starving, so the Torah gives you the option to sell her as an Amma, and the Adon has to take good care of her. We would love if the Adon would actually marry this girl. If he's too old, he doesn't want to marry her, we'd like to son, we to encourage it. So we're doing anything to get the Shidduch to work over here. But at the end of the day, it doesn't always work. He doesn't want to marry her. He doesn't have a son. The son's not interested in marrying her. So what do you do? So the Torah says, V'yotzachim en kasef. Eventually she just goes free. And finished, she goes free, V'yotzachim en kasef. So the Gemara is a drasha, V'yotzachim en kasef. She goes free and no money is given. That's an en kasef. En kasef the adon zevel, yesh kasef lo den acher. It means when a little girl leaves her house of her adon, there's no kasef. But with another parallel, equivalent little girl leaves the home of another adon, not the master. Who's the little girl's other adon? Her father. Speak to the Satli Shazera, her father's home. When she leaves her father's home, there are Kedushin, there would be Kesef, and the Kesef would go to the father, and that's one of the sources for Kedushin Kesef. In the end of the day, we have other sources as well. Kiikach, Kiikach, was the effort, and the Gemara explains in Navdal why we need both. Fine. But this is a potential source for Yatzachinim and Kesef. So the Gemara has a serious problem with this Rasha of Yatzachinim and Kesef, because we need this possibly something totally different. The Gemara is going to get into the whole discussion. It's going to lead us to coming sugyas. That V'yotzachinim and Kasef is telling me that she goes out, V'yamei Na'aros, V'yamei Bagros. Again, I don't want to spill the beans for too much of the sugyas after Yontif. It's the bottom of the dollar. So there are multiple drushes from that same word, in Kasef. And the Gemara gets into a lot of trouble. How do we have a right to darshan the same word for so many multiple drushes? So the Gemara has a fascinating insight into the world of drush. And the Gemara says that the word Ein could actually, we could dash in something extra from the word Ein. Why? Because there's an extra letter in the word Ein. What's the extra letter? There's an extra Yud. So an extra Yud in there doesn't really belong. The word could have been En Kesef. En Kesef would have gotten the same message across. And the extra Yud is the Abitur's Drush. And we'll try to explain to you how that works. Fine. So the Gemara then quotes a parallel Sugya. That this is a pretty wild Drush. The extra Yud and the word Ein is a superfluous letter. I thought that's how you spell the word Yud, the word Ein. So Gemara says, no, it's not a superfluous letter. Theory could be written without the Yud. If the Rebbe Shlom chose to put the Yud there to teach me this new halacha about Ein Kesef, fine. So the Gemara is not convinced that that's true until we find some kind of a precedent for this, to which the Gemara finally discovers a precedent and Dalam and Aleph, and that's how we got into this topic. That's how our next sugya develops. Again, the sugya we're about to embark about has nothing to do with Kedushin. The only reason why it appears in Kedushin of Dalam is because it's a similar style drush, a drasha of something extra from the extra letter, quote unquote extra letter Yud. So let's pick it up on Dalam and Aleph, the Sanya. It's about 12 lines of stuff on the top, the Sanya. Vizera Einla. What's the pasuk talking about? Vizera Einla. Anyone looking up Mechumash? Everyone knew what he was talking about? Vazera Einla. He's talking about a Bas Kohen. A Bas Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. She's born as a Bas Kohen, she can eat Truma. But she marries a Nizah, she marries a Yisrael, or a Levi or Yisrael, then she can't eat Truma anymore. Right? A Bas Kohen Kisili is a Hebrew Surah. But what if Chisya Managrusha? What if her husband divorces her or her husband dies? So then she goes back to her father's home. On the condition of what? These are the key three words. What are the three key words? Vizer Inla. Provided she doesn't have a child. If she has a child from the Israel, then she can't go back to eat the truma of a Beis Avia. Vizer Inla, then she goes back to eat. That's the condition that the Torah puts on. So comes the Torah Shabbat and now analyzes this phrase. Tisanya, Vizer Inla, Ainli Elazara, Zera Zayim Minayin. How do you know that if she doesn't have a child, if she has a grandchild, namely, obviously she had a child at one time, the child's no longer alive. So I would have thought, if the child's not alive, so then Zereinla, she doesn't have a child, so you go back and eat. But it happens to be that child left behind the child. So she has a live grandchild from the original Yisrael through the related, carrying the DNA of the Yisrael husband. But she doesn't have a child. So how do you know that she cannot eat Truma? So comes the Torah Shabbat and says, Zereinla, Elia Zara, Zereinla, Zereinla, Ayinla. The Yud is almost like a play in the word, like, look into her and see if there's any descendant that she has from that husband from the Israel, even if it's not a son, it's a grandson, it's a great grandson, it's a familia. If she has a living descendant from that Israel husband, she does not go back to her father's home to be true. Then the Gemara continues. The alien is there a kosher, is there a apostle? And what if she has a child from the Israel, but that child happens to be a Zera apostle? He's a mamzer. She happens to have one descendant, that one descendant is a mamzer. I would have thought, a mamzer, that's not a Zera, that doesn't count. No. Tamad Laimar, Zera Ein La Ein La. So, by the same drush, we're focusing on the extra yud, so to speak. The extra yud is teaching us a psaribu, a special drusha, that not only if she has a child, even a grandchild, not only a kosher child, even an apostle child, even a Zera apostle. So the Gemara jumps on the second drush and says, V'hafik de la Zera Zara. You can't cheat, you can't use. We're having enough trouble using the one letter yud for a drush, but for one drush, not for two drushes. How can that extra letter yud teach me both Zera Zara and Zera Apostle? That's not fair. Hafik, you already used Zera Zara. So the Gemara says, no, Zera Zara lewitz tichkra. Tibnei banim aram kibanim. Ki it's tichkra lezera apostle. Now, the emphasis is that you really only need one drush here. So this one little letter yud is going to teach me one thing. It's not going to teach me Zera Zara. It's going to teach me Zera Apostle. Why not Zera Zara? Because the answer is, we already what? We already know it. Because we have another klal called B'nei Banim Arem Kibanim. Whenever the Torah speaks about children, grandchildren are always included. That's the starting point of the sugya. So therefore, comes Gemara and says, since we don't need a pasuk to tell my grandchildren, I could have figured that out on my own based on the sugyas in Yevamos called B'nei Banim Arem Kibanim. Therefore, the yud is superfluous. And the only thing we could dash from the yud is their apostle. But for our purposes, we've proven that the extra yud is not good for drushes. Not good for two drushes, but at least one drush is all we need. And then from this, the Gemara goes back to the condition story why Ein Kesef is a good drush. Good. At Kan Divya Gemara inside. You see one thing crystal clear from this Gemara, clear as day, that this principle called Pnei Banim Harem Kibanim is a din in the Torah. We can create dinim deraisa based on this, b'nei banim, ram kibanim. Whenever the Torah speaks about children, grandchildren are included, and shayim. And even without any extra, without any superfluous psuchim, any superfluous letters of drashas, I would have known on my own that min haTorah, banim preventer for eating in truma, b'nei banim preventer as well. Ad kan divrei Gemara. So comes Tosfos in Maseches Bava Basra, and had a lot of trouble with this Gemara. Why? Anyone saw the Tosfos? Anyone got it ready to the next Mamar Kamis? No? Everyone's up to us already? So there's a Gemara of Basra that talks about Yerusha. The Torah says in Parshas Pinchas, Ish ki yamus u'bein ein lo. So a person dies, first the son gets the Yerusha, if there's no son, then the daughter, then the daughter, then the father, then the brother, then the cousin, blah, blah, blah. The whole say, the whole Parshas Nachlas that appears in Parshas Pinchas. So the Torah speaks about Ish ki yamus u'bein ein lo. And lo and behold, he uses the same magic word, ein lo. So that phrase, bein ein lo, indicates obviously in bein yesh lo, the ben comes first. There's no question the ben is the first yerush. No shalada. Comes the Gemara and says, ubein ein lo, and Baba Basa de Sanya, ubein ein lo, ein li ala ben, ben ha bein minayin. How do you know that a grandson yarshins? How do you know, let's say Yaakov had a son. Okay, yeah. Yaakov has a son, Reuven. What's Reuven's son's name? What's Reuven's oldest son name? What? Chanocho, Faluch, Hatzrov. Becharmi? Wasn't that Reuven's son? Okay. So, yeah. So Yaakov has a son, Reuven. Reuven has a son, Chanoch. And what happens? Reuven died first. He's done. Then Yaakov dies. Where does the Yerusha go? So the Torah doesn't say. There's no other sons. I don't know where the Yerusha goes. It goes to the door. I know what happened to it. So comes the Torah and says, no, the son, Ya'ili Alabonim, Ben Bnei Abonim, Inayin, Tamiloma, Daradam, Ubein Elo. What's the problem? We need a pasuk for. Why does the Gemara say the same story? Bnei Abonim, Reim, Kibonim. So obviously, sometimes you do invoke the principle of Bnei Abonim, Reim, Kibonim, sometimes you don't. What's the rule? What's the exception to the rule? So here we have a Gemara condition of the Dalet that's saying, well, just the word Ubein Elo teaches me Bnei Abonim, Reim, Kibonim. Not true, contradicted by the Gemara of Basra. Remember of Basra, the Gemara has a situation of a grandson, and the Gemara has to bend up a back to quote a pasuk on the extra drasha to tell my grandchildren Yashin. Why need a pasuk that my grandchildren Yashin? Pasha be better and kibbutz. So what does Taisa say? It's a linguistic Taisa. What does Taisa say? Who knows? Who said the Taisa of Basra? What does Taisa say? It depends what word the Torah uses. The word zer and the word bain are not synonymous with one another. Ben has a certain connotation, and Zera has a different connotation, says Taisus. Whenever the Torah says the word Zera, we could almost translate Zera in English. How would you translate Zera in English? Like a descendant, offspring, descendant. If I have a great, great, great grandchild, that's my descendant, that's my offspring. It's not my son, it's my offspring. Ben means what? It's a son. Finish, that's it. Ad kamo yosef. So this phrase, B'nei Abonim, Harim Kibonim, is a misnomer. You read this phrase mistakenly, says Taisus. You thought Bnei Banim Reim Kibonim means whenever the Torah says Ben, oh, that means Bnei Banim also. No, not true, says Taisus. There's no such cloud. Bnei Banim Reim Kibonim means that when the Torah says the word Zera, we can equate Bnei Banim with Banim. I.e., in our sugya, the Torah says the word Zera. I don't need a pasuk to tell me Bnei Banim Reim Kibonim. I need the pasuk for Zera. Pasuk not for Bnei Banim Reim Kibonim. But when the Torah formulates a din using the word Ben, Ben Taka means Ben, unless taught to the contrary, i.e. by a special pasuk, the extra yud, whatever it is in Bava Basra. That tells us to you. Tells us as you said in Bava Basra, in Yavamas, there's a common refrain in Taisus. Taisus are going to show you that we're right. Not only going to prove you from these two Gemaras, they're going to prove you from a Gemara in Ebe that we're right, from a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. Everyone learned Sanhedrin last year? No. This part we didn't get to. Another din in the Torah, not the most common Shailah, I've never gotten to Shailah, the Shailah of Molech. Okay? Guy gives his children to the Molech. Right, hands over his children to the fire worshippers. Oh, my Mishnah, crazy, Mishagoyim. So what does the Torah say? Terrible, right? So the Gemara says like this. Mavir b'no vito b'esh. Kosem k'samim b'noneim b'nachesh b'chashef. Right, you're not allowed to be ma'avir b'no vito b'esh. So the Gemara says, ooh, b'no. My grandchild? Why not? Right, I'm alone. Right, he likes it, it's fun, you know. Walk him through the fire, it's cool. Ben benoy minayin. What does the Torah say? Haman loymar. Ki what? Ki mizaroy nasan lamoylech. The Torah says, it's Tamash Bacham Lai Nigamar. If it would have just said, lo yebucham maver benoy uvito, the Torah would have just said the Yisra of Moylech in terms of beno uvito. So I would have said, tacha beno ye, abu ben beno, tacha mutar. Akul, if I want to give a grandchild to the Moloch, that's okay. So Kamash Balon, Kimi Zaro Nasan Lamoylech. Zaro is malami to me that it's not true, that even your grandchild is Asar. So the starting point would have been Taka Banim, Velo B'nei Banim, Kamash Balon, the word Zara, that Zara means even B'nei Banim Rekabanim. So Taisus took this phrase, B'nei Banim Rekabanim, and revamped it. It doesn't really mean what it sounds like. What it really means is, not B'nei Banim Rekabanim, what it really means is, when the Torah says Zara, so B'nei Banim. So can we test this theory of Taisus? We have to take this to the lab now. Can we test it? How would we test this? Where would we have to go? We'd have to start play around a little bit and start looking for what? For other times the Torah uses the word ben and see. A b'nei banim included or not. So we're searching. Do we have any examples? Any idea where the Torah uses the word ben? A little bit more close to home than molech? Any ideas? Ben Saramora? Okay, maybe. Any ideas? Oh, hi, it's not going to happen too often, so we don't want to look there. Any other ideas? Any other mitzvah that involves a ben? Any other din that involves a ben? That's not bad. How about we married them on some b'neichem and aber? But is there a mitzvah of teaching Torah to your children? Is that a mitzvah? Last we checked, was a mitzvah. Expensive mitzvah, right? We don't pay tuition these days. We married them on some b'neichem, so that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Teach your son Torah. So is that mitzvah only to teach your son Torah? Was that mitzvah to teach your grandson Torah also? So I sit down with my little grandson and I say, okay, let's go. We're going to learn Aleph Beis now. It's a nice thing to do. It's very cute. It's a nice, you know, Zaydi, you know, experience. But is that the mitzvah derived of someone's Menachem or not? Is that really Vishnat Levanach or not? So according to what Tosfos just told us, I'm sorry to report to all the grandfathers in our midst, not too many of them, but a few of them here, that the answer is, according to what Tosfos just told us, that that's not necessarily a mitzvah. It's cute, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah. Why? Because it doesn't say we married them osam as zarachem l'darabam. It says it's b'neichem l'darabam. So if it only says b'neichem doesn't mean b'nei banim, unless what? Unless we have some kind of a drush, some kind of a reboot to include b'nei banim. Do we have such a drush or not? Maybe. A definite maybe. Maybe we do, depending on how you read pshat. Another pasuk in Parshas Chana, it speaks about v'odatul v'nechel v'nei banechel. We don't know what that pasuk means, so we have to stay tuned to what that pasuk means. So the starting point to the sugi, again, according to Tosfos, is that don't take this one condition so seriously. The Gemara says, v'nei banechel, that doesn't really mean it. Proof being the v'dasra, proof being the molech sugya. The real starting point is that v'nei banechel are not really kibbanim, unless either the Torah uses the word zera or there's a drasha to prove otherwise. So Talmud Torah is going to be a really good litmus test. That's going to be a good experiment. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, when we continue this sugya, so we're going to go from starting with that nekuda. Now, where is Talmud Torah going to take us? How does this play out in terms of this whole discussion? So, again, just to review just for a minute what our schedule is, hopefully, for the next couple of days. So, tomorrow is Thursday. Right? Tomorrow. What's today? Today's Wednesday. Right. Okay.